Good afternoon and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg and we're live for an hour each weekday afternoon, including now. And we're live so that you can call in and we can talk back and forth on the phone. If you have questions about the Bible or the Christian faith that you'd like to raise for conversation, maybe you have a difference of opinion from the host, you'd like to bring that up for conversation, that's fine too. The number is 844-484-5737. That's 844-484-5737. Now, right now, our lines appear to be full. So, maybe not. One of them looks like it may have dropped. So you might get through. But if you don't get through, just keep trying. And they do open up throughout the hour. They were full a moment ago, but it looks like we might have one line open now. 844-484-5737 is the number. All right, we're going to talk to John from Maine. John, welcome to the Narrow Path. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. I hope all is well with you. I'm a big fan, and I read a lot of your lectures. You've explained a lot of things to me over the years. I'd like to get your take, though, on the references. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, I think it's verses 6 and 7. Peter seems to suggest that after Christ died, that he went into hell to preach to the spirits that were in prison. Yet when Jesus was on the cross and he died, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." So I guess my basic question is, when Jesus died, did he immediately go, his spirit go to the Father to, you know, present his blood as the atonement for all sin? Or did he actually descend into hell as the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed tell us that he did? I'd like to get your take on that. What does Peter mean when he says he preached to those in prison?
All right. And also 1 Peter 4, 6. I'll talk about that as well. Well, first of all, the only actual direct statement we have in Scripture of where Jesus went the day he died was that he said to the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So we have to, I believe, we have to assume that he went to paradise. Now, some people would say the punctuation on that sentence could be done differently, and it would make it not so much saying they're going to be in paradise that day. But I'm not going to worry about that right now. To me, the most reasonable punctuation is, "I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, where is paradise? Paradise is a generic term that can refer to any, pleasant place. In fact, the word paradise is a Persian word that means a pleasant park. Heaven is referred to as paradise in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul refers to the third heaven as paradise. The New Jerusalem is called paradise in Revelation. The Jews spoke of one of the compartments of Hades as paradise, and also as Abraham's bosom. The Jews believed that Hades had two compartments, and one was where the righteous went when they died, and the others where the wicked went when they died. The wicked would go to, it was believed that they'd go to flames of fire in Hades, and that the righteous would go to a different compartment in Hades, which was called Abraham's bosom or paradise. Jesus seems to put a stamp of approval on this with his story about Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. So some people believe that that is the correct way to see it. Now, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Did he mean heaven, as Paul used the term? Or did he mean that compartment in Hades, such as the Jews thought of? Now, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is talking about Jesus' resurrection, and he says that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did it see corruption. Now, that suggests that Jesus went to Hades, but what is Hades? Well, Hades can mean the grave, or, in the Jewish mind, it can mean this place with two compartments, one of which was paradise. Since Jesus said he'd be in paradise that day, and Peter says he was in Hades, we might simply go along with the Jewish notion that he went to that compartment in Hades called paradise. Now, these verses that you brought up in 1 Peter, it's very difficult to know what Peter's referring to, but I can give you an idea of what I think. in 1 Peter chapter 2, First Peter chapter 3, he's talking about how Christ through the Spirit, it says, preached to the spirits in prison. That's what it says in verse 19. By whom, that is by the Spirit, who's mentioned in the previous verse, by the Spirit he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, who are the spirits in prison? We must assume they are people who have died and their souls are in prison. I guess we don't have to assume that, but we know of no other case that Jesus went and preached to people in prison. So the idea here is these are people who have died and they're in prison. And he says about them, the ones that he preached to, who formerly were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Now, the people that Jesus preached to through the Spirit were the ones who were disobedient in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Now, we don't have any record of Jesus, preaching to them elsewhere. And if he went to Hades and preached to those people down there who were disobedient in the days of Noah, why did he separate those ones out from people who were disobedient and died after the days of Noah? I mean, there was easily 2,000 or 2,500 years after Noah's day of Old Testament history where people lived and died and went into the grave. If Jesus went and preached to the disobedient ones who had been disobedient in Noah's day, why didn't he just preach to all the people down there? There's another way of looking at this verse that I think makes some sense, because it says that Jesus did this through the Spirit. He preached to the spirits who, I believe we could say, are now in prison. But that doesn't mean they were in prison at the time they were preached to. That is to say, he might have preached to them during their lifetime, and they are now spirits in prison, as we speak of them today. But when he would preach them, they weren't in prison. They were alive in the days of Noah, giving Noah trouble. Okay? Now, in what sense did Jesus go and preach to them? Now, note that Peter doesn't say that this happened when Jesus was in the grave or during the time that he was dead. He doesn't say anything about the time frame except that it happened while the ark was being prepared. And so I'm thinking that he's referring to Noah preaching to the people as the ark was being prepared. And one thing that would, a couple things would make that a likely scenario. One is that although in Genesis, where we have the story of Noah and the flood, there's no mention of Noah ever preaching to anybody. The idea of Noah preaching is simply not found in the Old Testament at all. But it is found in 2 Peter, the second book by the same author as 1 Peter. And it says in 2 Peter 2 that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Once again, we don't have that in Genesis, but I'll take Peter's word for it that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And if so, then the preaching that was done to the disobedient people while the ark was being prepared in the days of Noah may well have been done by Noah, the preacher of righteousness. Now, why would it say then Jesus preached to them through his Spirit? Well, if Noah was an inspired preacher, he'd be preaching through the Spirit of Christ, and therefore Christ was preaching through him, through the Spirit, as Peter says here. Through his Spirit, he preached to the spirits in prison who were disobedient in the days of Noah. So it was not Christ personally. It was his Spirit, perhaps in Noah, preaching to those who were disobedient in Noah's day. Now, there's a second reason to think that this may be what the meaning is here, and that is that in 1 Peter, the same book we have here, in chapter 1, he talks about the Old Testament prophets. And he specifically says about the Old Testament prophets in chapter 1, verse 11, that they were speaking what the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating. Now, of course, the Spirit of Christ is another expression for the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. These terms are used interchangeably, for example, by Paul and probably by Peter as well. Now, we know the prophets spoke through the Holy Spirit, but Peter specifically says they spoke through the Spirit of Christ. That's the term he uses. So if Peter said that the Old Testament prophets spoke through the Spirit of Christ, and then says that Noah, also an Old Testament prophet, through him, Christ, through his Spirit, spoke, then this would be suggesting in chapter 3 of 1 Peter, verses 19 and 20, that not that Jesus went somewhere when he died and preached to spirits in prison, but that in the days of Noah, Noah, inspired by the Spirit of Christ, preached to those people. Now they're dead, and they are now spirits in prison, and thus he refers to them. And you asked about 1 Peter 4:6 also, which uses a similar expression. It says in 1 Peter 4:6, for this reason the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, obviously here he's not talking about the wicked being preached to, because he talks about how they live according to God in the Spirit. And although they were judged according to men. Now, I believe this could refer to Christian martyrs or prophets in the Old Testament. But people who have died they were judged according to men. That is, men judged them and killed them in the flesh. But they nonetheless live according to God in the Spirit. That is, they're still alive in heaven. Now, it says this gospel is preached to those who are dead. This could mean that they are now dead, but they weren't dead when they were preached to. Okay, so again, like in chapter 3, verse 19, the spirits in prison might be the spirits of those who are now in prison, but in their lifetime they were not, and that's when they were preached to. Also here in chapter 4, verse 6, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, not who were dead at the time it was preached to them. It was preached to them when they were alive. They're now dead. Former generations of righteous people who heard, as it were, the gospel. Now, we might say, well, that'd be New Testament times then. Well, it could be. It could be New Testament martyrs. Peter was writing late enough that there were now dead Christians who had believed and now were living, even though they'd been martyred. But even the Old Testament saints could be said to have been preached the gospel, too, because Paul says in Galatians 3 that the scriptures preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you may all the nations be blessed. So the message preached in the Old Testament is sometimes called the good news also. And so I say these two passages in Peter are difficult. They both talk about someone being preached to, and the people being preached to are dead or spirits in prison. But it doesn't say that they were in that condition when they were preached to. It seems to be referring to Old Testament or perhaps Christians in the second instance, who had died before Peter did and before Peter wrote, who were preached to so that they, even though they died at the hands of men, man's judgment, yet they are vindicated by God in the Spirit. That's what I would do with these verses. Obviously, they're ambiguous, and there's plenty of people who have seen them differently than that, but that would be my answer. All right, let's talk to Jacob from Puyallup, Washington. Jacob, welcome to The Narrow Path.
Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Is it true that all that is good in my life or in a person's life is of God? For example, if I have or am reported to have a gentle spirit, is that God or to be credited to God? I question sometimes if I have the Holy Spirit. I have a second question after you're done with this.
Okay. Well, is it true that everything good in us is of God? The Bible does say every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. That's in James chapter 1. So I would say anything good in us is of God, but that's true even of anything good in non-believers, because all people were made in the image of God, and therefore we contain something of God's nature in us by creation, at least more than the animals have. And yet, of course, we know we are fallen. We know that mankind is fallen. But many people think of the fall as having made people totally depraved. That's the Calvinist idea, that man is now totally depraved and born that way. Well, the Bible never says that is true. That's a theological starting point in Calvinism's reasoning, but it's not stated in Scripture to be true. All the verses about universal sinfulness in the Bible do not say